Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
More than half of us in this place right now are overwhelmed with worry. Well over half. And by worried, I mean that you have this ongoing weight. A burden for someone you love, for something that you care about, something that you want to change, but you can't figure out how to change. And it's a burden, it's a weight that you carry every single day. And you just can't seem to find any kind of relief. So this morning, I want to talk to you about one of the biggest mental health problems facing our world today. And I honestly think that I've said this every week about every problem that we've talked about. Because it depends on who you read behind that it seems that particular problem may be the worst one. But in my defense, according to the World Health Organization, Americans struggle with worry more than any other people group in the world. Now, when I read that, that totally blew my mind. And the reason that it did was because I've had the good fortune, and we'll, even this year as we go to Guatemala, I've had the good fortune to go to third world countries. And so I've been to a third world country. I've seen the devastation in third world countries. I've seen people that have maybe an annual income of $500. That live in huts made out of sticks, and that is no exaggeration. Tarps that they find, they can't afford tarps, but maybe a tarp that they found in the dump. People that literally are hungry. And when I think about Americans, I think, wait a minute, whoa, us? We are, at least according to statistics, we are one of the most, if not the most, affluent societies in the world today, and yet it seems as though we struggle more with worry than even third world countries. And I don't even know if that makes sense. What I do know is this, is that worry is poisoning our peace. I know it's killing our joy, and I know it's stunning our spiritual growth. It has certainly stunted my spiritual growth at times. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That you're so overwhelmed with worry that it stops you spiritually dead in your tracks. And like, if you're a churchy person, you don't want to tell anybody that because you think they'll look down their self-righteous nose at you and judge you, and so you can't tell anybody, and so you just live all alone. In fact, according to Barner Research, about 60% of adults in the U.S. struggle with worry and stress on a daily basis. Why? Y'all ready? I got the answer. It's because of sin. I mean, this is church Sunday morning. What'd you expect, right? It is. It's because of sin. Because as born as sinners that we are, we tend to default toward fear instead of faith. In every case, if we're not careful, we will default to fear and not faith. I think I can prove it. So my guess is that if you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're not awake trying to figure out how to manage all the joy and peace in your life. Right? If you wake up at like 2 o'clock in the morning, my guess is that if you're like me, then there's a relationship. There's something that comes to your mind. And I've often wondered how I can do that out of a deep sleep. And 2 o'clock, 2:30 seems to be my time when God wants to wake me up. And I've always told him, you know what, we could do this just as easily at 8 as we can at 2. He seems to like 2 o'clock for some reason. I'm not sure why. And then, you know, to find yourself worried, and maybe it's worried over a relationship. Maybe it's worried over finances. Maybe it's your health. Whatever it is, you know, we tend to worry. We talked about anxiety a few weeks ago. I think I said it was like the number one problem, mental health problem in the world today. And maybe you're thinking, so we talked about anxiety. Why aren't we talking about worry? Aren't they the same? It would appear as though they are the same, but the experts, according to them, they're different. They are similar, but they're different. When we think about worry, we tend to experience worry in our minds. At least that's according to the experts. It's something that we rehearse over and over and over and over again in our minds. Anxiety is different. Generally speaking, we feel anxiety in our bodies, and that's how we express it. We don't say, I feel worry. I feel worried right now. We don't tend to express it that way. We tend to say, I feel anxious. Right now, I feel anxious. And as soon as someone says, I feel anxious, you know exactly what they're talking about, right? Their palms are sweaty. They're wringing their hands. Their heart is racing. Maybe they're even sweating. I mean, you can see the perspiration on their face. You can see it physically. Worry is specific. Anxiety seems to be more holistic. For example, you might worry that you're going to miss a flight. Unless you're my wife, and she has never, ever worried about missing a flight ever a day in her life. There's never been a time that we've ever flown that she's ever worried about missing a flight. I'm the one who says, baby, come on, let's get it together. We got to get to the airport. I have missed a flight. Just in my defense, I have missed a flight. I know what that feels like to say, sir, the door's closed. You can't get on that flight. My first wedding to miss was because I missed a flight. Y'all with me? Are you feeling my pain? I wish Karen would feel my pain. She doesn't feel anything at all. So you worry about something that is specific, but you may holistically, in a general sense, be a little anxious about travel. Worry is more specific. So I've got the answer for you. You ready? This is going to be so easy. It's going to be a short message. Like, I'm going to read this verse. We're going to go to the house. You know, we're going to enjoy Mother's Day with Mom. So are you ready? Matthew 6:25. These are the words of Jesus. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry. What y'all think? Stop it. So that's the message. So if you're here this morning, you're worried, stop it. Just don't worry anymore. Let's close in prayer. See, here's the problem. Sometimes we look at verses like that and we think it's just not that simple. But let me say this. You need to look at the verse. Because Jesus said, therefore, don't worry. And anytime in Scripture you see the word therefore, you got to go back and see what the therefore is therefore. Did that make sense? Probably not. You're supposed to look at what came before that verse if you're going to understand it in its context. And so right before Jesus says, don't worry, here's what he says in verse 24. He said, you can't serve two masters. That's bigger than you think it is. You can't serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and you'll despise the other. And Jesus, very specifically in this context, was talking about money. And he said, so you can't serve God and money. You just can't do it. And so really what Jesus was saying is this: you cannot obsess, you can't focus on two things at the same time. You can't overly focus, overly obsess about money, because when you do, here's the problem. When you overly focus on money or whatever your situational problem might be, whenever you focus on that, God gets out of focus. So you don't see him as clearly as you once did. And then he says this in verse 25. He says, don't worry about your life. And you're thinking, whoa, now hang on just a smidgen. What do you mean? Don't worry about your life. And then he says this. He says, literally, he says, and don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Hello? I get a little worried. How about y'all? Yeah, he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Or about your body. Or about what you wear. Karen wishes I would worry a little bit more about what I wear. There's times when she'll look at me and she'll say, you're not gonna leave the house with that on, are you? Nah, I was just trying it on. And you think I'm kidding. There's time I thought this looked good. And she'll say, she don't say a word. She just, I'll be right back. I'm going to go change. He says, "Is the words of Jesus, is life not more than food? The body more than clothes?" But when Jesus said this to this particular group of people, they would have worried about food. It's a different time, a different part of history. And according to all the theologians, he would have been primarily speaking to a group of poor people that would have literally got up every day and their first thought was, how am I going to find food today? How am I going to feed my family today? And yet Jesus says, don't worry. So he says, don't obsess about something that's temporary. It's hard for us to really think about. Because temporary, even though temporary is temporary, it's in the moment, and that's what gets our attention. That's what we focus on. I'm focused on today. I'm focused on the problem of today. He says, let's focus on what's eternal. Then he says this, verse 34. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. How many of y'all, if you were get level honest right now, would say, I'm a little concerned about tomorrow. I'm a little worried. I know this is church. I don't want to have to raise my hand and tell on myself, but I got to be honest. Maybe you got a project due tomorrow. There's something going on tomorrow. There's a due date tomorrow. And you know, if you were just gut level honest, you would say, I have to be honest, I'm a little bit worried about tomorrow. He says, for tomorrow's going to worry about itself. And you're thinking, I'm going to help it. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In other words, don't obsess about the future. Don't freak out about something that you can't control. James says life is but a vapor. It's here only for a fleeting moment. We don't have tomorrow promised to us. What I love about Jesus, and so don't just read a verse and walk away, okay? If I can encourage you, learn how to read the Bible and learn how to read it in context and ask questions. I mean, it's great when you ask questions. It's only when you ask questions if you'll find answers. And it's okay to say, that just sounds stupid. Even if Jesus said it. Study the context. So I love about Jesus. Here's what he says, verse 26. He says, so look at the birds of the air. I want to get practical, Jesus said. I want to talk about something that you're going to understand. A lot of things you might not get, but you'll get this. I want you to look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns. But here's what I want you to notice. What I want you to notice is that your heavenly Father feeds them every single day. He takes care of their needs. Are you not more valuable than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, to be fair, if a bird's hungry, he's going to do something about it. Y'all with me? Did I lose you? Because I remember, actually, I read this from somebody else, and I remember when I read it, I remember being angry and thinking, how come I didn't think about that myself? So, no kidding. So, a bird just doesn't sit up on a limb and go, okay, God, I'd appreciate a worm if you don't mind. I mean, are there any flying worms? I mean, I'm checking it out. No. So here's what a bird will do. A bird literally will go looking for food. Birds are hunters. They just don't do nothing. And I think that illustrates a very important difference between concern and worry. Concern focuses on challenges and moves us to action. For example, you might say, you know what? Our marriage is struggling. I mean, if I'm just get level honest, I would say, hey, you know what? My marriage is struggling right now. It's struggling right now. And so because I'm concerned, because I love my husband, because I love my wife, because I care about our future, and I care about even the atmosphere that we're raising our children in, I care so much about that, is that, you know what? We're going to seek out family counseling. We're going to seek out marriage counseling. I'm not just going to sit back and do nothing. I'm going to be like the bird. I'm going to pursue some kind of action. I'm going to pursue help. You might be concerned about your health. You might say, you know what? I hadn't really felt good lately. I feel like I'm tired all the time. My joints are achy. My digestive tract is all out of whack. And I can't walk up a flight of stairs without being totally out of breath. And so you know what you do? You say, I'm going to consult a doctor. I'm going to check. I'm going to do something about this. I know that I'm not doing well. I know my body well enough to know that it's more than I just don't feel good. Something is wrong. So I'm going to consult a doctor. I'm going to talk to a nutritionist. I'm going to join a gym. I'm going to get a personal trainer. In other words, your concern moves you to action. In other words, you're going to be like the bird. You're going to say, you know what? I'm not just going to sit back and do nothing. But I'm concerned, and the concern is going to move me to action. Worry focuses on what's beyond our control. And the result is, and y'all know what I'm talking about, it's paralyzing, isn't it? It's paralyzing. Listen, anytime God gets out of focus and you're hyper-focused on the problem that's in front of you, I can only tell you what I've experienced is that I'm overwhelmed with fear and I can't move. I can't take any action. It's almost like I'm afraid to move. I don't trust God in the moment enough to even move. So worrying really is stewing without doing. So maybe that's why Jesus asked the question. Really? Tell me. Can any of you by worrying, really? Think about it. Can you add a single hour to your life? And you know what we all know? We all know that actually worry doesn't add to your life. Worry takes away from your life. That worry leads to anxiety, perhaps. And then maybe anxiety perhaps leads to depression and it overwhelms you. And you literally feel it in your body. And you know that if you hyper-focus on the problem for too long, that it will have physical ramifications. You know that physically you'll feel it. So he says, don't do it. Doesn't change anything. Nothing's going to get better. And then he says, "But here's, listen, so every time you are tempted to worry, just look at the birds. They don't worry. But neither do they sit around and do nothing either. So, you do what you can do. You do what you can do when you trust God to do the rest. And then Jesus says this in verse 33. And this is, I gotta be honest, this has been one of those verses I don't know that I've ever heard anyone really talk about this verse in the context that I want to talk about it this morning. So here's what he says. Seek ye first his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God, the old King James, right? And his righteousness and all these other things are going to be added unto you. The problem was I never had anybody really explain to me what righteousness meant. I was never really sure. And when you look at it in the context, so here's what Jesus is saying. You know what? You've got your plans over here, and you're probably worried because your plan's not going well, and maybe you've never really consulted God. You never really looked at your plan. But here's the deal. If you will just live life God's way, if you realize that God has a plan, and when you're in the middle of his plan, you know that God's going to take care of you when you're in his plan. When you get outside of that, you're going to worry. So the Ten Commandments are not like 10 rules that God gave us to weigh us down. They're like guardrails. And so God gives us his law. He gives us a way to live, not in a way to confine us, but in a way to set us free. And he says, you know what? You could relieve yourself of so much stress, so much worry, so much anxiety, if you could just live this way. So he says, whenever you're worried and you're freaked out and you're panicked, whenever you don't really know what to do, I just want you to seek God first. I want you to seek his plan first. I want you to think in this moment, wait a minute, did I get off track? Like God had a plan. God has a way to live. Like, am I doing this God's way or am I trying to do this my way? So you seek his righteousness. You seek his presence. You seek his goodness. And then here's the thing. When you do that, everything else is going to be added to you. So here's what he's saying. He said, listen, don't worry. Don't hyper-focus on the problem. Focus, obsess over God. So I have to ask the obvious question. Is God really first in your life? Is he first? So what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? What is the first thing that you do? So if the first thing that you do is every morning that you wake up, if you look at your day, I mean, people ask me all the time, so what's your week look like? I go, are you crazy? I ain't looking at my week. I'll look at a day, first thing in the morning. I'm not going to like go to bed at night, check my calendar before I go to bed. I think that's the craziest thing in the world. I couldn't sleep if I sometimes were to see what my schedule is for the next day. If I knew the problems that I was going to have to deal with the next day, I think, no way. And so I get up in the morning, even before I look at my calendar, and I say, okay, God, like I know I've got nothing to do at 4 o'clock. There's nothing scheduled at 4 o'clock. Y'all with me? So you think, well, shouldn't you know what time to get up? That's why I get up as early as I do. So it's just me and him, and we hang out, and I focus on him, and I focus on his mercy and his grace and his goodness, and then I'm overwhelmed by God. But I get to that point, and then I go, okay, now I'm ready to face the day. I'm ready to take names and kick some spiritual rear end. I'm ready. So where does your mind go to when it drifts? Like, just naturally, where does your mind go? I don't know about y'all, but for way too many years for me, it would always go to the problem. I am a leader. I don't like being a leader, if I'm just honest with you. I'd say, I'd rather have another gift, God. Can you give me something else? Anything else. I'd like to have the gift of sweeping. I think that would be awesome. Can I have anything besides being a leader? Because I'm going to tell you what I've done as a leader. I prepare for the worst. I hope for the best, but I plan for the worst. That's depressing, isn't it? So my mind can drift toward the worst, is my point. So I have to be careful to make sure that my mind drifts toward God. Who am I kidding? I can't drift. Like, I got a motorboat. I got to make sure I'm headed in that direction as fast as I can. I got to think about the goodness of God and the presence of God and the power of God and the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God, the awesomeness of God. So here's what I've learned. What we worry about the most might reveal where we trust God the least. Because you have these areas, and you say, I trust God with all that. Man, parents, you say, I trust God, all this stuff over here. I don't trust him with my youngin', though. And I don't trust him with my youngin', for those of you that aren't from the South, that means child, because I know my child. And that youngin' gonna get into something today. I used to tell Katie at the end of every day, I said, come on, get your whipping. She'd say, for what? I said, I know you did something. I wish that was not true, but it is actually very true. You could ask her. So let's get practical. Let's get practical. I want to share with you three thoughts that have worked for me. I'm just sharing with you practical stuff, because there have been times in my life, and you've heard me say this so many times, there's been too many times in my life when I worry about some things that flipping don't matter. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And there's a whole host of things over here I should worry about, like what I look like when I leave the house, you know, that I really don't care. Mama said, you know, son, I wish you cared more about things. But one of the things that I worry about, these are three thoughts that have just helped me tremendously. Here they are. Here's the first one. There's a great chance that the very thing that's worrying you may never actually happen, like at all. So, in fact, there was a study done by researchers at Penn State, and they asked a group of people to document what they were worried about, and then to document how many of those fears actually came to pass in the next 30 days. And here's what their research found. 91% of the things that they were worried about never happened. So like 9 out of 10 things that they were worried about never happened anyway. And so that's why Jesus said, listen, are you going to add a single hour to your life? No. In fact, it's silly to worry because most of the things that we worry about aren't going to happen anyway. But here's what I have learned. Those things will rob you of your peace 100% of the time. I can't worry and have peace at the same time. I can't. Maybe y'all can. So first thing is, you know what? Most of what I'm worried about ain't going to happen anyway. Here's second thought. Second thought is this. Whatever does happen, it's probably not going to be as bad as I thought. So it did happen, but guess what? You survived. You know, you had that presentation at work, and let's be honest, you stunk it up. It was pretty stinking bad. Stunk it up, stinking bad. Y'all get that? I thought it was awesome. So, but here's the thing. They didn't fire you. You still got a job. Isn't that awesome? Y'all must hate where you work. I mean, I don't know. You still have a job. Maybe they'll even give you a second chance. Maybe you learned some things with the first presentation. And you know what? Now you're going to be more prepared, better prepared. You'll be ready for the second go round. Maybe there was a guy or a gal. This is so twisted up today. I don't even know what to say. Maybe you asked someone out. Guys used to ask girls out, but that's changed. Like, hadn't it? Girls say, well, you asking me out. I'll ask you out, punk. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like things are different. But let's say you ask someone out and they said no. Guess what? You will survive and be able to ask someone else out. And they're going to say no, too. No, I'm just kidding. Or maybe, gosh, you're like me, and every week, you know, I seem to be able to say something stupid. You know, just give me a minute. Let me get off my notes. I know Karen when I'm way over here, and like she's teaching in the children this morning. I'm over here, and I can look at her, and she's like, oh, Lord, please don't let him get off his notes. Please don't let him get off his notes. Because I'm dangerous when I'm on my notes. Y'all with me? And when I get off of them, you never know what I might say. But here's what I've learned over the years. Even when I say something really, really stupid, listen, this is why people, are you nervous? I'm not nervous. Because it's not about me. It has nothing to do with me. And you know what I've learned? I can say something wrong. I can say something stupid. And God can take that stupid thing and he can speak to a heart. One of you out there, and you can look up here and go, well, if God can use him, I'm like, I'm a cinch. I mean, because he really. I mean, if a soul can get saved with that fella preaching, I mean, have mercy. Well, I always say, well, he spoke through a jackass in the Old Testament, so there's hope for me. Somehow people can say, God can use him, God can use me. Here's the third thought, and it's simply this. It did happen, and it was worse than you thought, but God brought you through it. And what I found is this, is that we often get to know God best when we need him the most. That's been true for me 100% of the time. And when it happens and it's worse than you ever imagined that it could be, you know what's really sweet? It's sweet to be convinced that his promise to never leave you nor forsake you is true. I didn't plan on sharing this, and so this is not going to be on the screen. My prayer time every morning is critically important to me. I have to start my day that way. I got to be honest, sometimes there have been times in my life when my problems were so big that it made God look small. That may seem like blasphemy to some. Hopefully you'll understand what I mean by that. So what I need in the morning, before I ever get ready for the day, before I ever think about facing the world, is I have to start with some scripture. I read this every morning. This one verse I always think of, I take Maggie out about 4-ish. Maggie's their dog. And as I'm walking Maggie on those beautiful clear mornings, I look up at the night sky. And I just so love nature. And so this is the verse that comes to my mind. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. He says, who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls each one by name. Watch this. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. And I walk out every morning and I look up at the sky and I go, whew, you're huge. God, you're big. And this is so beautiful. And it's so vast that we as humans, we don't even know how many galaxies there are. It's like they never end. We can't count the stars. But you, Lord, you know every star and you call it by name. Wow. Then I have to move to something a little more personal. Because just saying that God's created the universe is awesome, sometimes in my life it hasn't spoken to me. So I'll go to Isaiah 41:10. He says, don't be afraid, because I'm with you. Don't be discouraged. I love this. He says, I am your God. He gets personal. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be discouraged, because I'm your God. I'm with you. I will strengthen you and I'll help you and I'll hold you up with my victorious right hand. And I go, okay. So Lord, I won't walk through the day by myself. I won't be alone today. No matter what I face, no matter what problems overwhelm me, you're with me. And then this is a verse that when we started the whole capital campaign and we're trying to raise money, that I knew good and well, if God didn't show up, we're not going to raise it. And so this was a verse that God gave me. I didn't share it with a lot of people. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God, oh my goodness, he will generously supply you with all that you need. And on days when I didn't know if we were going to make that goal, I said, Lord, but you said you'd supply. You said you would. But this is the kicker. Then he said this, and then you will always have everything you need. Watch this. And then you'll have plenty left over to share with others. Wow. God, you're going to bless me. You're going to bless me so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. That is so cool. So on those days when worry can take its hold on me, maybe not you, but me, then what I have to do is I have to process this. I can only do it through his word. Why do I need his word? Because I know that's true and that's stable, because as I look back, see, those of you that are young, please learn from those of us that have been around for a couple of years. Because we can look at you and tell you, don't worry. God's got you. He's got you. So you seek him first. You call on him first. You press into him first. You love him first. You cry out to him first. Sometimes you yell at him first. I've done that. My prayers haven't always been pretty prayers, believe me. But he's always listened. He's always been faithful. And then I have to allow God to bring healing to the brokenness in my life. Allow his Spirit, Holy Spirit, to bring healing and wholeness to the brokenness of my life. So I'm just saying that today is a day, it's an opportunity for you to take that burden, that person, that care, that worry, and trust it to the Lord. Just to give it to him. Because when you focus on him, then your worry, your problem, kind of gets out of focus. And you look to him and you say, you got this. And you know what? I do it through his word. I go, here's what you said. And I'm standing here this morning, an old man, and I can promise you that God has never failed me. He's been late a few times. Now, he says he's always on time. I still beg to differ with him just a tad. He's never failed me. Those of you that would just be willing to admit right now, you know what, Scott, I got to be honest. I struggle with worry. I battle with worry. Could you be honest enough and open enough in a group this size to say, that's me? Could you slip up your hand? Can I pray for us? Lord, we are fallible humans at best. So, Lord, for some of us, we really are trying to put you first. We are really trying to walk with you daily. But sometimes life gets hard. And, Lord, we focus on the problem, the situation, the thing. And, Lord, we lose our focus. You get blurry. So, Lord, we're just confessing that today, and we're just asking that you help us. We're going to do what we can do, and we're going to take Scripture, Lord, and we're going to focus on you. We're going to obsess on you. But the devil's going to try to rob us. He's going to try to kill, steal, and destroy. So we're just confessing that we need your help. Every head's still bowed, every eye's still closed. Some of you recognize that Jesus isn't anywhere near first in your life. Maybe you have prayed that prayer of salvation. But somewhere along the lines, you don't seek his righteousness. You're not looking for his plan, his way. And you're worried. And maybe you just need to pause right now and stop right now in your seat and just pray and say, God, help me get this right. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus and you realize this morning that the reason that you worry and struggle through the difficulties of life is because you're doing life alone. Everybody look this way just for a second. If you're not a follower of Jesus, here's what I want you to know. Those of us that are no different than you. Please, some of us aren't near as good as you are. If we're just gut level honest, we struggle. But here's the thing that we have that you don't have. What we have is a loving, kind, tender Father that we're in relationship with, who is so merciful and gracious to us as his kids. And then what we have is the promise. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be a friend that will stick closer than a brother. And that's how we go through life. We go through life, no matter what we face, we never face it alone. He's with us. So if you're here this morning, you're not a follower of Jesus, and you say, why in the world would I want to give my life to Jesus? I can't think of a better reason to have the God, the creator of the universe, as your Father. So if you're here this morning, you're not a follower of Jesus, but you'd like to be, then every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Maybe you just pray a prayer, something simple, something like this. Maybe you just say, Lord, my life's a mess, and I've been doing life alone. And it's hard. I know that I'm a sinner. That is for sure. And I do trust what Jesus did on the cross. That he paid the price for my sin and that he was raised on the third day, that he's alive and well. And right now, I want to fully surrender my life to you. I want to seek your way, not my way. I want to seek your righteousness, not my plan. From this day forward, I want to follow you to the best of my ability. I want to fully surrender my life to you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I can only speak for myself, but Lord, I would be so totally lost without you. I wonder how many times I've said that this morning. Not because I was worried or concerned, but Lord, as I walked across the stage today, I always know that if you don't show up, it ain't nothing going to get done. I don't depend on talent or ability or preparation, Lord. I depend on you. Holy Spirit, knowing that you will move because you love these people and you so long to speak to them. Thank you that I just get to be a small part of it. We love you. It's in your sweet name we pray. Amen.